from Community Public Radio, this is a special report from the CPR Newsroom. In New York, I'm Don DeBar. Media coverage of Russia in the United States has been criticized widely by others, both here and abroad. There is a great deal of misunderstanding between the peoples of Russia and the United States, much of it a consequence of the news coverage received here in the West. Charles Bousman is the editor and publisher of Russia Insider, an online news magazine at www.russia-insider.com, which was started in September of last year by a group of expatriates living in Russia who felt that coverage of that country was biased and grossly inaccurate. Bousman speaks Russian and German. We spoke with him in American English via Skype from Moscow Monday. Russia Insider is a few months old now. A lot of content, tons, and from voices all over the world. Maybe you could tell us first what you have there and then a little bit about how you guys put this together.
Sure. Well, basically, it's a website that tries to produce, put up a lot of high-quality analytical and news stories about Russia, about the situation in Ukraine, a lot of stuff that isn't getting carried in the mainstream media. And the reason we put it together was because, well, first of all, all of us are non-journalists, the guys who started it. And we're people from all over the world, from the U.S., mostly U.S., Canada, U.K., and then also Western Europe. And, you know, we know Russia well, and many of us have worked here and have a lot of experience here. And last summer, the coverage in the international media about what was going on in the Ukraine was so one-sided and so biased. And really, I mean, I could just run out of superlatives to describe it.
One of them was fantastic.
It was terrible.
Just in terms of being out of sync with the fact, it was literally fantastic.
It was extreme, you know. And I've noticed for years that the coverage of Russia was very biased and tendentious, and it wasn't sort of giving a realistic picture of the country. But it went completely off the charts last summer, and it was a very sort of scary time. I mean, people were thinking, hey, you know, a major war could break out in Europe over this. And so just a small group of us said, look, we just want to put up a very small site, which we honestly thought would be read by about, you know, 20 of our friends, where we just sort of try and sound off and say, look, here, there's some things that are just not true that are being, you know, spread in the mainstream media about what's going on there. And this amazing phenomenon happened. All these people started talking about us on social media and volunteering and asking to contribute and applauding and saying, you guys are so great. We got to do more of this and so on and so forth. So we started with literally like 3 or 4 articles a day that we were putting up, and people just kept signing up, showing up, offering to help. And it sort of turned into a sort of a broad-based volunteer movement. It's important to understand this is not a typical news website where it's kind of a top-down thing where, you know, somebody decided to invest money and hire people and put out a lot of content. This is very much a user-generated citizen journalism. I would call it like a phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And I'm somewhat accidentally the head of an online movement. and, you know, it's a funny place to be in because I'm not a professional journalist. I spent my career in finance.
Right.
But the thing really, really took off. We just kept on putting, as more volunteers showed up, we just kept putting up more material. We got to about 40 headlines a day. Sort of in November. We started it in late September. Our traffic has gone ballistic. And that, for me, is the really interesting thing because we have, you know, a lot of visitors and readers. And I'd like to say that it's because we're so smart and doing such an amazing job. And perhaps there's a grain of truth in that. But what it really is, what it really tells me is there was a real hunger for this. I mean, there were a lot of people out there who sort of also felt that they weren't getting accurate information from their media about the Russia story. And we just happened to show up at the right time, and the demand was relentless. I mean, relentless. So that's the story. It's an interesting. It's like we took the pulse of news and media consumers out there, and suddenly, you know, we realized, oh my God, there's a huge demand for this kind of stuff.
Mm. You know, I came to Russian media, to looking to Russian media, in particular RT and other media outlets after that. I think really in depth, a little before the war on Cote d'Ivoire and the war on Libya began. And I had been to Libya in late 2009 and saw it with my own eyes. I was there about a week. And had a chance to, I was in Tripoli, so I had a chance really to scope out what Libya was, you know, what it was about, how the people lived, how things worked, you know, all of that. And then when the war started, the characterization of Libya that was presented as fact was so out of whack with my personal experience. And while I was looking for somebody that was reporting on it from the ground, for example, and somewhat accurately, I found that RT was doing that, and I started looking at that every day. And from there, I started looking at other Russian media at the time, Voice of Russia, now Sputnik, these other news agencies, TASS always, and what was RIA Novosti, which is also now Sputnik. And I found this diversity of opinion that was there. There were the right-wing people from the United States and left-wing people from other parts of the world, and Russia no longer considers itself a left-wing country. This is such a counterintuitive thing for Americans who were taught that, you know, there was one guy in a back room in the Kremlin that published all of the news and information for the entire Soviet Union. So now you have this. How do you see yourself fitting into, like, the whole media picture?
Okay. Well, you mean how do we compare to those state-backed media outlets?
No, more. If you look at the totality of information that's out there, you know, this is what is being presented about what happened today around the world. How do you see yourself fitting in, your niche, the piece, that the thing that's missing that you're filling in?
Okay. I guess what we're trying to get across is we're filling in what the mainstream media is not telling you about Russia, or what we believe they're saying inaccurately. And you could, I'm perfectly comfortable saying, actually, in many cases, dishonestly, consciously dishonestly.
I agree with that.
And you know, the Russian state-backed media outlets do that too, and they've been doing actually a pretty good job of it. But we're very different from them in the sense that, first of all, we're not Russian, and we're not based in Russia, and we're not funded by Russia. We're a group of volunteers from around the world, and our voice is very American and very, you know, native English speaking. Right. So you get the feeling on our site that, you know, you're talking to your fellow Americans or Brits or Canadians about, you know, what's going on there. And we can get the message across a lot better than the Russian state-backed media can, because, I mean, they're still Russian, and they present things from a, you know, with a Russian voice sometimes, or a Russian mentality, and that's good. They should be doing that, right. And it's needed out there. But it's more convincing and more understandable, and also I think more believable when you're hearing it from your own people, you know, from people that you relate to completely.
Yeah, I mean, looking at your bio, for example, you worked at NBC News in Moscow in the late '80s, which is an interesting.
Yes.
You know, an interesting point of view, that I was watching NBC News in Moscow in the late 80s. And and also, you know, and the media here was very anti-Soviet and anti-Russian during the Reagan years and the early years of Bush. And then,
yeah.
And then you're also did large scale investments over the last 6-7 years in agriculture. There,
right.
I'm assuming it's there, right? Yeah. So
yes,
you know,
yes.
You're talking about. I mean, there's. I looked at Russia from when I was a kid. I'm in my early 60s now, as a lefty. You know, I'm feeling some solidarity with the people there and having an alternate view of U.S.-Soviet relations to the prevailing one here. But
right.
It seems to me you go in with NBC and then you go into agriculture, which used to be, you know, that was a big thing that it was state agriculture and now a lot of it's not. And so you're bringing a different perspective as an American to that than mine. And yet there's this diversity of opinion at this website. That goes from people left of me to to people that do corporate work there.
Yeah. No, that's also very interesting that that the appeal of the site seems to be evenly split between people on the left going way over to the progressive left, who are very critical of the U.S. and also then. The right and very conservative people, and then tons of people in the middle, obviously. But it seems to have a universal appeal, and what that seems to suggest. I've thought about this, and it's interesting that one thing that everybody can agree on is that the media is doing a terrible job.
Yeah, right.
It's like everybody's agrees that the media isn't suiting them and not giving them what they need to be knowing. And I think it's a fascinating thing. I can tell you very briefly. The other interesting thing about our readership is that they're evenly split between Europe and America, North America, I guess, including Canada.
Really?
So we get half our readership from basically UK, Germany, France, and then the other half from US and Canada.
See, for example, going to the spread. What you're presenting that I just described in, bare bones terms, that vast area from, people who criticize Russia from, from a communist left perspective that, you're no longer a communist country, you've turned capitalist, to people that are active capitalists in Russia, that entire spectrum is missing from the narrative here. And there's only a narrow band that's to the right of the right of that spectrum that's presented to Western Europe and the United States.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. I mean, when I look at, it's interesting. I was, as I said, I was not a journalist 6 months ago, and I'm not sure I'm one now. I don't know what I am. But, I was a businessman who was a news consumer, and I was aware that there was something that I thought was strange about the news, but it wasn't something I could really dig into. Well, in the last 6 months, one of the things we've done as a group, and I've had the chance to discuss it with the other guys on the project, is we've really analyzed these articles and sort of said, what is going on here? I mean, who are these people and why are they saying these things and how are they saying them and how are they sort of skewing and sort of misrepresenting things? And so we've become sort of, in a very short time, in a big hurry, kind of like experts in media analysis or media criticism, trying to understand what was going on, sort of approaching it in a very practical and sort of, open-minded way.
Yeah.
And the conclusion I've come to is that, the media have gone off way out on a limb, and they're pushing an agenda, and it's a very narrow one. And in order to push that agenda, they've got to be very, very selective about the sort of views they present and the facts they present. And they're in a very vulnerable position because they have opened themselves up to massive criticism. I mean, I haven't been able to do 90% of the criticism I want to do about just the New York Times, just what the New York Times has written about the Ukraine over the last year, because I don't have the resources. But I see endless instances of malpractice. It's journalistic malpractice, and it's a disgrace. I'm from New York, okay? I grew up with the New York Times.
Right.
I think that paper should have a responsibility to tell people what's going on.
Yep.
And when they pull the stuff they're pulling, it's time to call them out on it.
Yeah, The fact that you're not, or you don't consider yourself a journalist coming to this, for example, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because media...
It's an advantage, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, media has a role in society, and the various sectors of society are the ones, I think, that ought to be doing the critique of media to see how well their needs are being met by the way the media operates. And just the fact that every time you put something out there that shows, you know, some additional facts to what's in the current narrative, which is often self-contradictory and changes from day to day, people are gobbling it up, right? I mean, your numbers are going off the charts.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, we haven't had any promotion. No, we're not, you know, professionals in like making websites popular. This has really been a word of mouth thing and sort of a viral thing on the internet.
And going to that, okay, so your background actually is in finance, and keeping a website up and getting all this content, making arrangements with people, you know, you have to clear rights, all these other things. You got to finance it. How do you guys finance this?
Well, we've actually spent a really surprisingly small amount of money on this compared to what's up there. And the way that's happened is because we're really a broad-based volunteer movement. 90% of what we've done has been done by volunteers. And then the parts that do have to be paid for, like the web hosting, and we have to pay a programmer here to help us, you know, maintain the site and things like that, we've paid out of our own pockets.
Hmm. So you guys do any fundraising or...
Yeah, well, what we've decided to do, because we've gotten this huge response, and we're like, wow, look, and we get this mail every day that, oh, you guys are wonderful, and please keep it up and do more, and this was so badly needed, and so on. So what we're experimenting now is crowdfunding, and we have a crowdfunding campaign live right now, which we've just started, and it's going to be interesting to see where it goes.
Tell people, you know, a lot of our listeners are involved in various nonprofits, either formal or many of them informal. And fundraising is always one of the biggest problems. And there are all these devices now. Personally, I'm ignorant. What is crowdfunding? How does that work?
Well, it's a rapidly growing thing. It really took off about 5 years ago. And basically, there are these internet websites called crowdfunding platforms, and they provide you a page where you can put up information about your project, whatever it may be, and then you have to drive people to that page. You have to sort of advertise what you're doing and get people to notice it. It gets noticed a little bit by the community that regularly watches this platform. And, you know, it's remarkably successful. It's just absolutely fascinating. I'd heard about it also, kind of like you. I'd heard about it, didn't know what it was, so I've sort of researched it over the last 2 months as we decided that we wanted to do it. And it's absolutely fascinating, the projects that get funded on these things and how successful some of them are. And it's allowing people to do stuff who could never have done it in the past. So I think it's an incredibly progressive and positive development in the world. And it's a very, very good thing.
Hmm. Okay, now that you have access to our audience, what do you want to tell them about RussiaInsider.com? It's Russia-Insider.com. What do you want to tell them?
I want to tell them that this is a very, it's a great opportunity to improve our media. When I say our media, I'm speaking as an American who feels that the media has really personally let me down. And we can do so much more. We can put up so much more material. We could double our output, triple it. And there's just so much to be told. And I think it's kind of the future of journalism, because I think the established media companies they've taken up an agenda. And in order to push that agenda, really alienated a lot of people and are on the verge of alienating a lot more when they realize how bad it's gotten. And so we're also businessmen, or actually more businessmen than journalists. And so we feel like, you know, there's a huge opportunity here to take this much, much further. we can we're registering as a nonprofit in the United States, so we'll be a nonprofit news company. We're fundraising directly for that. We're doing the crowdfunding, and we want to fill that space that the media, that vacuum that the big established media companies have created, and get the word out to as many people as possible.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.